Good morning. It's good to be back. Have you ever needed something? I've needed something. When I was 6 years old, I headed to Barnes & Noble in Lubbock, Texas. There, I first laid eyes on this dinosaur book. And if you don't know me, I love dinosaurs. Now, this book is a compilation of several others that I had known from a library that I used to visit in Hayes, Kansas when I was even younger. And these books were the absolute best. I call them the fearsome books because the images of the dinosaurs in them exaggerated the fierce qualities of the dinosaurs. And every time I went to the library, I would check out as many as I possibly could. So naturally, walking into Barnes & Noble and seeing a book that combined all of them into one, and also seeing that it was available for me to buy permanently instead of just checking it out from a library, I freaked out. This was the greatest thing that had ever happened to me. Acquiring this book took precedence over all other endeavors. If I could, I would have suspended all military operations and sent the U.S. Army to guard that Barnes & Noble so that no one could buy the book before me. But since I had no income or military authority, the only way for me to obtain the book was to ask for it for Christmas. In the days leading up to Christmas, I grew quite frantic, thinking that maybe I wouldn't get the book. I cried, I lost sleep, I almost threw up, and I asked about the book approximately 50 times a day. I didn't just want this book, I needed it. When I finally got to open presents on Christmas Day and I saw it, I just about popped. Now, the psalmist in our reading today also needed something. And it's so much more than a book. Specifically, he needs deliverance. We don't know specifically what from, but there are plenty of things the psalmist could need rescue from. He starts by saying, at least in the ESV, it won't match your bulletin, I have done what is just and right. Do not leave me to my oppressors. The psalmist is threatened by oppression, and he's crying out to God to deliver him from his enemies. He says, let not the insolent oppress me. But then, later on, the psalmist says this, keep setting my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. He's not only seeking deliverance from his physical oppressors, but also from the sin that oppresses him spiritually. But it isn't necessarily the asking for deliverance that is remarkable here. We all desire that. What is remarkable is the way that the psalmist approaches his request. He's not only asking to be saved, but he's asking to be saved according to God's will. He trusts God with his situation. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love, and teach me your statutes. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. We so often get caught up trying to fulfill our desires in the way that we best see fit, or we give God instructions on how to fix our problems. But here, the psalmist isn't giving God orders or railing against him for allowing him to be oppressed. That would be the solution most in line with his human nature. Instead, the psalmist is seeking a divine solution to his human problem. He's seeking divine resolution according to God's heart. Part of seeking this resolution lies in the honesty that the psalmist uses. Instead of saying, hey God, I'm kind of in a tough place and I might need some guidance here, or something like that, he lays out his entire desperate situation before God. He says, "Look, God, I'm oppressed. This is bad. I need help." He must be honest with God about the extent and nature of his problems to invite God to work his will in them. Acknowledging his inner faults is also essential to the psalmist's plea for God to work his will in them. "Keep setting my steps according to your promise" acknowledges that the psalmist will stumble and that he needs God to take complete control over his challenges, inner and outer, so that the psalmist doesn't mess it up himself. The psalmist makes his request that God work his will in his life because he trusts God. He trusts his character. He trusts his person. And he trusts that God loves him. And he knows this God who loves him through his law. That is why the psalmist repeatedly expresses his desire for the law's fulfillment. He says, "Therefore I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Therefore I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light, it imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments." The psalmist recognizes these laws to be an expression of God's heart and of his divine will for himself and for the rest of humanity, and he pants to see their fulfillment. We all have challenges in our lives. Think about your challenges, your needs. Maybe you don't have an immediate personal challenge, but there's enough going on around the world to keep us all concerned. How do you approach your challenges? Do you yearn for change in the world, for resolution to conflict, for delivery from oppression? Maybe you have hope, or maybe you're stressed and anxious. Do you believe that God has a solution? Where do you see God in your challenges? Do you seek to solve your problems your own human way, or do you invite God to work his will in your life? And are you open to the idea that God has a way to solve this problem that you might not even imagine? When I wanted my dinosaur book, I pushed my parents with all my might to buy it immediately because I was afraid that Barnes & Noble might run out. I told them my plan, my child's solution to my child's problem. But they used this to encourage me to look at a parental solution to my child's problem. They told me to trust them and wait for Christmas. As a child, I wasn't aware of the many ways they could have bought the book had Barnes & Noble run out. Amazon, going to a different bookstore, etc. By being set on my solution, I was blinded to the fact that my parents' solution was far superior and gave me much more satisfaction than buying the book immediately would have. Not only did I receive more joy after getting it after weeks of waiting, but I was able to learn to trust my parents, at least a little. Sometimes we can stubbornly demand that God fixes our problems and fulfills our needs in the way we see fit. But God calls us to take a step back and invite him to show us his solution and to let him work his will, just as the psalmist did in today's passage. And the good news is that God cares. He cares about every little thing that challenges you. If you can't make friends at school, God cares. If you have financial problems, God cares. And if you just can't get that annoying song out of your head, God cares. He has a plan for every challenge you face. And although it might not seem as comfortable or as logical as your own plan, divine solution will always be better than a human solution. And every time you allow God to work his divine solution, you grow in your trust of him. So let him take the reins. Bring your challenges to God and let him use them to work his redemption in you. Let us pray. God, help us to see your will in our lives and in our needs. Let your will be done. Amen.